What's up, guys? This is Tim from Fathers of the Grind, and we are excited to finally bring you our Game of the Year episodes for 2018. I hope you guys enjoy these many conversations we had with a wide variety of guests. I want to thank all of you guys who participated, whether it was with voting or with the different posts in our group about Game of the Year, or if you were on our show, thank you for taking time to come and chat with us. So first up, we are going to talk about favorite Nintendo exclusive from this year, as well as our favorite family/kids game. And our guest for this episode is Bobby Pauls, the Nintendo guru himself. So I hope you guys enjoy. I'll be rolling these episodes out periodically over the next week or so, and then we'll be off till the second week of January. So hopefully all this content is enough to hold you over, and then we'll see you again in January. So enjoy.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, here we are with Bobby Pauls, the Nintendo guru himself, to talk about the best Nintendo games this year. So Bobby, welcome on. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you guys very much for having me. It's an honor as always. The last time I was on, Derek wasn't here.
That's right.
So that was actually a good thing.
He laughs, but he just wrote your name down. So I don't know what that means.
I'm sure. Afterwards, you're going to be like, he is never allowed on the show ever again. Don't let it happen again.
Derek, can we just comment real quick on how much more professional Bobby looks in his setup over there with the microphone? It's got the Zelda symbol on it. He's got the background going with the lighting. Look at that lighting.
I know, man. It's Whew. Work in progress, man. Whew. You can have all this too. Just get divorced. And everything kind of works out in the wash, you know.
There's your advice for the week, folks.
That's just my advice for the week. Just get divorced. And have everything that I have. It's a catch 22.
That's hilarious. Now tell us real quick. I know, because you know you do a ton of different content. Mm-hmm. So tell us the stuff you're working on right now, especially that you want people to go check out right now.
I got a new series starting in January called Breaking Bells. It's an Animal Crossing podcast.
Okay.
Derek, you should really check that out. I think that's
right. Oh, yeah. Right up my alley. Jeez.
The main thing is I'm streaming on Twitch 4 to 7 nights a week.
Okay.
At @_Nintendo_guru. So that's, you know, and then I'm doing my daily content on Nintendo Guru Daily that I do. If We Ran Nintendo, Planet Nintendo Podcast, Nintendo PlayStation Podcast. I got a lot of Nintendo stuff.
I've always liked the If We Ran Nintendo one, especially the way you guys started it out. You started it out before the Switch was announced, right?
Way before the Switch was announced.
So yeah, you guys were already talking about some things. Now, did they end up delivering with the Switch some of the stuff you guys wanted?
I mean, ultimately, I feel like they have. I mean, there's always things you can nitpick and want to be a little better than it is, but I think for the most part, they've delivered on their promises. If you watch that initial trailer, they were basically saying they were going to give us, I feel like they gave us.
I feel like that was a new Nintendo.
Yeah.
That trailer right there signified, hey, Nintendo's doing things differently now.
And the thing of it is I feel like they're listening now, where in the past, I don't feel like they listened at all.
Right.
It was like you were just screaming into a black hole, praying that maybe they would make some changes. Just a change to the creators program that they did recently, to me, signifies that, like, it may take them a while to get around to it, but, like, they're making changes. And, like, cross-play is another thing. Like, you tell me, in what world did you ever imagine that you'd be able to play with Xbox or PlayStation from a Nintendo console? Like, when Sony was like, no, we're not going to do this, like, I'm like, that is such a Nintendo move.
It was, yeah.
And Sony was the one doing it. So I'm impressed with the newer Nintendo.
All right. Well, fair enough. If you guys are not watching this on YouTube, if you're just listening to the audio, like most of you do, make sure you at least jump over to the YouTube real quick and just take a look at the background that Bobby's got there. He's got a ton of cool stuff back there. A lot looks like some amiibo, some other figurines.
I got all kinds of stuff back there. There's shoes up there. I got Zelda figures.
I see your Super Nintendo Classic up there.
I got the Super Nintendo. I got the Famicom Edition. I got an Ojo, which is the Switch projector, which is pretty awesome.
The Switch projector? What?
That is, yeah. So it's a project. So what it is it's like a dock. and you take your Switch and drop it in, and then it's a projector. It'll like, I took it to E3 with me this year.
That's awesome.
And I bunked with Jules Watcham.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting there, and every morning I would put it on the wall and we would play games.
That's, you know, so cool.
Where he had meetings.
Did you play any of his games? Did you play Mutant Muds with him?
I played actually Soccer Slammers launch when I was out there. Nice. So we played, he was like, here's a free code.
That guy's awesome.
That guy is phenomenal.
Man. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his on Twitter and stuff. I like that guy.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
You don't know. You know what? This guy.
This is what keeps our show entertaining.
I forgot if it's not like God of War or like big AAA games. Like Derek has no clue what a game is.
Bobby, I don't even play games anymore. I mean, Tim only has me on the show for my looks.
Oh, well, then he's in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. Okay, listen.
Trying to bring up that women demographic.
Before you, oh, gosh. Yes, we have a lot of female viewers and listeners, without a doubt.
Yes.
All right, before you guys start making out, let's get into Nintendo from 2018. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is there's not been a ton of Nintendo exclusives, but there's enough for us to make what I'd like to be our top three, maybe top five if we can't agree.
Yeah.
But the reality is I realized there's at least two major Nintendo exclusives that I haven't played this year. One because it just released and I haven't bought it or gotten around to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one because it's a tennis game and I just wasn't interested. I was kind of interested at first, and then I just decided, you know what? I've got too much else going on. So I've skipped a couple of major Nintendo ones, but my take on Nintendo for this year, and Derek and Bobby, tell me what you think about this. I actually think they stepped up as a great place to play a great option to play a bunch of third-party stuff, specifically indies, but some really good third-party stuff. I think of like your Dead Cells and things like that was on every platform, but I thought the Switch was the best place to play a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And they took a step back, in my opinion, on delivering the huge exclusives that you could not miss. So like 2017, Zelda, Mario, and Xenoblade 2, those were amazing. I mean, those were stunning. And then in 2018, I don't know that they really delivered on that unless you're a major Smash fan, which I know, Bobby, you're a big fan.
Well, I think 2018 was more if you passed up on the Wii U, which about 100 million people passed up on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Guilty.
But if you passed up on the Wii U, then 2018 for the Switch was more like, hey, here's another release of a Wii U game.
Yeah.
And they're technically exclusives. Like, I'm looking at a list and there's a decent amount of exclusives, but again, most of them were released on the Wii U before.
And it's like Toad, Treasure Tracker, and stuff like that.
And that's the thing, in that situation, like, it stinks for me and Derek, because we both owned Wii U's, I know that, mm-hmm. and like, I don't know about Derek, but I owned every game that launched pretty much this year. I mean, even Smash included. Like, Smash is pretty much Smash off the Wii U.
Yeah, just more.
A lot more. And mm-hmm. so, you know, like, when you look at, like, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, that's probably a more, you know, new exclusive that they had. But, yeah, for me, I felt like it was a lot of exclusive, and let's be honest, those games all sold like gangbusters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze sold, you know, went over the 1 million copy mark. Like, every game that Captain Toad was high, Bayonetta 1 and 2, actually,
Platinum Games
came out and said, like, hey, these actually sold. They overperformed on the Switch. We didn't think they were going to really do that well, and they did. So this was a good year for them.
Oh, yeah, and they also did the Hyrule Warriors, right?
Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, which was everything, was all the 3DS content plus the Wii U content. Like, they really, I feel like they brought a lot of games. It just kind of stunk if you were already a Nintendo fan.
Right.
And that's where the third parties and the indies stepped up for people like me, who was like, hey, listen, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, fantastic game. I double dipped because I liked the game so much. But, like, I didn't double dip on every single thing they put out. But the third parties and the indies definitely picked it up and carried it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bayonetta 2 is a big one, too, because that was a pretty major action game that a lot of people wanted to play, but a lot of people, like myself, totally missed it because it was Wii U exclusive. So that was a big one. All right, well, good call. It was overall a good year, I thought, for the console, but as far as these quote unquote rules, and I say that even though I'm the one who created them, for 2018 Game of the Year goes, most of those games weren't released this year, but there were some surprise smaller games that were released that I found to be some of my favorites. So here are some of the ones that came to mind. You guys fill me in if I'm missing something. Just recently released this game. I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's pronounced Grease or Gris. I'm not sure how to say it. G-R-I-S. So that, I believe, is considered a console exclusive to the Switch at the moment. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Into the Breach is another one that's on PC, but nowhere else except for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Battle Royale on the 3DS. Kirby Star Allies for the Switch. Lightfall, I believe, is still a console exclusive to the Switch. Mario Tennis Aces, Nintendo Labo, Octopath Traveler, Pokemon Let's Go, those two versions. Pokemon Quest is a mobile game and a Switch game. Super Mario Party, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Sushi Striker, The Way of the Sushido, I believe, is exclusive to Nintendo platforms.
Yeah.
The Messenger, and then WarioWare Gold was a 3DS game too. Throw a couple of those in there. Yeah. So those are the ones I could think of that were 2018 releases that, yes, some of them might have been on PC as well, but console exclusives. Did I miss anything major that you guys can think of?
Not that I could think. I mean, Tropical. Did you say Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze?
I didn't, because it didn't come out this year.
Really?
Wasn't that a Wii U game?
Well, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay. So you're not including the... Okay. I got you. Yay. You're right. You're right.
Yep. Now, I might list that as one of my personal favorites because I loved that game. And I still have it. It's on a regular rotation on my Switch. Actually, my son and I like to play that one still. Love that game. So for me, it was new. But yeah, we just tried to draw the line at... Because a good example would be like Owlboy and Hollow Knight. Those games were on PC in previous years. Came to consoles these years. But for the most part, I'm leaving them off most lists because they've been around a little bit. So, so yeah, those are the main ones. Derek, when I go through that list, what thought comes to mind?
Trash. Garbage. Ass. Those are like the main games that I like this year on the Switch.
By the way, your buddy Sasan, he keeps calling Ashen Trashen, so you need to deal with him.
Oh my God. Good Lord.
He's probably played it for like 5 minutes.
Well, and he's talking about how great Below is. I know we're not talking Microsoft right now, but Ashen's way better than Below, folks. I'm here to tell you. I played them both. Ashen's way better. All right. But I digress. No,
I mean, for me, to get back to Nintendo, I didn't play a lot of the Switch this year. First of all,
to be fair, you didn't have one for a while, right?
Yeah, I gave my son mine, and then my daughter had hers, and then I took my daughter's back from her because she was not playing it. But I didn't. There wasn't much I bought. Like we talked about earlier, most of the games that I was interested in were released on the Wii U, and I pretty much bought everything. Like, I bought Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U. I bought Hyrule Warriors. I bought Captain Toad, Smash Bros., Donkey Kong. I'm just going through a list real quick. So I bought all those. I did buy Mario Tennis Aces, but I only played it for a little bit. I thought it was good, but it's not like a game that I'd be like, everybody go buy a Switch and buy that game. It's game of the year material. It's not. And then for me, I'm going to just throw out my pick. It's going to be Octopath Traveler, and I didn't even really love that game, but that's just, to me, the only game that I thought was an exclusive that was quality that I played.
Okay. When I look over the list that you just read off, there was nothing really, to me, game of the year worthy when you're comparing it to other consoles.
Yeah.
There's nothing that came out on the Switch on that list that made me go, I have to own a Switch. And that's including Smash. As much as I think Smash is a great game, for me personally, I wouldn't have bought a game. I wouldn't have bought a Switch for Smash. My thing is last year was the year to buy the Switch. This year is kind of like the holdover year. But for me, the standout of the list and of all the games this year is Octopath. For me, it's a fantastic game. I love the game. I'm currently playing through it right now. And what I love about it is I come from the old school generation, like Final Fantasy III. That's the true name of it. It's not six, but people will call it six, whatever. Final Fantasy III from the Super Nintendo is my favorite Final Fantasy of all
time. You're so American.
I know. I don't care. And that's the thing with that game is it's so much like that in terms of art style. But what they did was the beauty of that game is they took what you know from pixel art and they ramped it up. It was like they basically just flipped the table over. It was like everything you know about pixel art, we're going to take it to another level. Yeah. The soundtrack is fantastic. I like the fact of like you could pick the path you want to go in. You don't have to go the same path that everybody. And the cool thing is like I'm talking to people that are playing it now or have played it. And the path I take could be totally different than the path that Derek takes or that you take, you know, depending on what your main character is, who you pick off the jump. And you don't have to finish everybody. You could just kind of finish the storyline of your battle party and then be done with it. Like, that's the other thing. There's end game content to it. Like, you could roll credits and then go on to battle a final boss stuff. I really think that Square, with these smaller versions of these games that they're doing with, like, Tokyo RPG Factory and all that, like, with I Am Setsuna and all that, like, I love what they're doing.
Did you like The Lost Sphere, by the way, this year?
Did not like that one. Did not like that one that much. I felt like they trying to drop the ball with that one a little bit. But the studio that worked on this game, they also
Setsuna was good.
Setsuna was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
But the studio that actually worked on this game actually worked on Bravely Default, which I was a big fan of. The first one, the second one was eh, but the first one was a really good game. And so I'm a fan of what they did with Octopath. And for me, that's the like if when I look at 2018, I go, that's the game. If you're into RPGs, if you're not into RPGs, don't even waste your time. But for me, liking RPGs, I'm like, that's the game, you know, that like kind of tickles, you know, scratches that itch.
You know, it did feel like the best of Super Nintendo era.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Now, what Derek said about Aces, like I bought Aces and I was just like, okay, this is like, it gets you there. That's where I feel like Nintendo kind of messed up this year. Like when you looked at last year, you looked at what they did with Zelda, you looked at what they did with Odyssey, with Xenoblade, like, they took what you wanted and they pushed the boundaries. Like they took it to that next level. But with Aces and Mario Party, it was like they're better than the iterations that were on the Wii U, but they're still not there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're not that great of a game. And that's where I feel like a little.
Well,
a little
I think like for instance, Aces was pretty cool just because they added a lot to it compared to the tennis game on the Wii U, which was just bare bones trash.
Yeah,
that was but I think the big thing is it's not really that those games fell short of what they are. I think it's more it's what they are. They're a party game and a tennis game. Like nobody gets hyped up for I can't wait for the next golf game or the next tennis game. Like we want Zelda, we want a Mario, we want, and they released all that in 1 year. So to have this type of year is not really that surprising. Yeah. Now, and not to jump ahead, because again, we're doing game of the year here, but talking just real quick about next year, if they have the same type of year they had this year, next year, you will probably hear me get a little frustrated with the Switch because I'll just be like, come on, guys. Like, I'm not saying they have to release Zelda. I'm saying step it up as far as give us exclusive experiences that are not a tennis game, not a party game, nothing cheesy like that. Give me like a single player experience that I can only get on the Switch.
I think
Nintendo can do.
I think next year is your year. I think next year is going to rival last year for Nintendo in terms of they have a lot of content coming. Now, Metroid, anybody that believes Metroid's coming next year, just wake up from your dream. It's not happening. It's a 2020 game, 2021 easily. But we might get Prime Trilogy brought over so people can experience
that'd
that.
Be nice.
Nice. But like Fire Emblem, I'm a big Fire Emblem fan. And
that's what I want.
Cannot wait for that game to hit.
No More Heroes 2 should drop next year.
Yes. Bayonetta 3 should hit as well, which is huge. And the Yoshi game looks like it's going to be a really good game. I was a fan of Woolly World because I felt like they took the kitty version of it out a little bit. Because Yoshi used to be a very like easy Kirby type game. They took that out and it made it a little bit more difficult. The aesthetics are really good with the yarn and the cardboard and all the stuff that they added to it. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So I feel like they're set to do a lot of good things next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Time will tell, though.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So, yeah, Tim, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Are you on board with Octopath Traveler being the best Switch game? Or are you going to fight us?
I actually don't think it's very close. I think it's by far the best Switch exclusive this year. I think it's, I want to see Square do more stuff like that. Yeah. I still want them to make the next Final Fantasy big epic AAA game, but I like to see them allow their smaller groups or smaller studios do stuff like this. I actually wouldn't mind if they went ahead and put out a sequel to this and go ahead and use a lot of the same engine. Just, you know, create a, maybe this time instead of eight disparate stories, have one straight through line, like a Final Fantasy III or one of those. Like have a more meaningful storyline. Because if you remember from Final Fantasy III, they each have their own branching storyline, but it all still connects and there's one major villain and you're all going after him and this big world-ending event happens and you have to regather and go after him again. And it's awesome. It's a great story with some cool individual character stories as well. So that's the thing that Octopath was missing, was a really strong, with my JRPGs, I like a strong through line. I want a really good villain. Like that's what I want. So if Square decides to do that and they make Octopath Traveler 2 or whatever they want to call it, but they give you a stronger through line story, I'm in. I thought that was the best Nintendo exclusive this year, and I don't really think it was close. But I did enjoy some other games, and I do want to mention a couple of them. I don't really care how we order these, but I've got my own personal top three. So for me, Octopath is first, and like I said, it wasn't too close. But second, one of my kind of surprise games of the year, it was a PC-only game until they released it surprisingly during a Nintendo Direct, and that was Into the Breach. One of my favorite games of this year. It came out early in 2018 on PC, and people were raving about it, but I kind of knew, like, well, I'll never play that. It's on PC. And then when they released it on Switch, I thought, cool, I'll try it out. Into the Breach is a combination of Advance Wars meets a roguelike style game, and it kind of has a little bit of a... Do you ever see that Tom Cruise movie, The Edge of Tomorrow, where the time keeps resetting? That's pretty much what happens here. Is each run, they reset time, and they bring you back and say, okay, go try again. But every time you complete different challenges, you earn coins that then you can unlock new mechs with. It's this mech... it's a grid-based, turn-based strategy game, and you have mechs, and they all have different abilities. Some of them don't have any attacks. They just move units around the board. So it takes Advance Wars and Fire Emblem, and it changes – it makes it more of a game board where if you can push them into the water or push them in the path of another attacking enemy before their turn, things like that. It takes a lot of strategy. It can get really tough, but I found it to be very satisfying and a really fun – game to play in short bursts as well. So I love Into the Breach. That was my second favorite game. I highly recommend it. I think it's only $10.
Yeah.
Might be more than that.
15.
Yeah. Is it 15? Okay. Yeah. Love Into the Breach, especially if you see it on sale. If you like strategy games and you're interested in a somewhat Fire Emblem or Advance Wars type of a game. I don't want to oversell it as one of those because you don't have character. Well, there are pilots, but you don't have characters and you don't have deep storylines. It really is just about these really quick strategy matches. So yeah. I don't know. Bobby, have you played that one?
I have not played that one. It's on my radar. I just haven't had it. Dude, there are so many games that I've played this year. And that's the thing. Like, it feels like it's funny because you'll sit there and go like, oh, Switch didn't have much this year. And then when I start going through the list of like even my backlog, I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, I've got too
so
many.
Yeah, there's so many games I haven't touched.
Well, and the thing is, there's a lot of third-party multi-platform stuff too. For example, Valkyria Chronicles 4 is this massive RPG that I got on the Switch and I started it and I really like it, but it's probably been 2 weeks since I played it just because I've got too much else going on, you know. So
to be fair, you guys buy a lot of trash, so that's why you got a huge backlog. Guys, we got too much money. Let's just buy trash.
You know, he's not totally wrong. I did buy Yono the Magical Elephant. That game was that was a bad game.
People raved how good that game was.
It was not good,
and I was like, "What the hell are you people playing?"
It was bad.
That is garbage.
What is it called?
I think it was Yono or Yoko, whatever.
Yono, the stupid celestial elephant.
Whatever. Celestial elephant. Yeah,
they should have. That was hot trash in the summer, man. That
they said it was like Zelda for kids, and I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So I got it, and I hated it. But what they should have said was Oceanhorn is Zelda for kids. Now, that's actually true. Oceanhorn is a decent little Zelda clone.
Decent, but it's not even that good.
Still not great. Still not great. So Into the Breach was great. That'd be a great game for them to put out a demo of. I really wish they would have a free demo, let you play one battle, so you can just get a feel for what it's like. But they don't. So if you've got some money to spend, you're looking for something to pick up for the holiday season, I recommend Into the Breach. And then for me, number three is Pokemon Let's Go. We got Let's Go Eevee. We got the little Pokeball, which is a cool little device.
Yeah.
Not my preferred way of playing the game now that we've tried a couple different ways, but I do think it's creative. And the idea of putting a Pokemon in there, carrying it with you, that kind of stuff is really, again, Nintendo thinking very creatively with their existing IP, giving you new ways to interact with it. And the best thing about it is the way it integrates with the very popular phone app that we still play, Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
I love what they did with this game. It's essentially a remake of Red, Yellow, Blue, Red, Blue, Yellow, whatever. It's that same experience. You fight the same gym leaders and stuff like that. But you can see Pokemon on the screen now. It's not random battles. I've actually grown to prefer that now. Like, I don't want random battles anymore. I want to see which ones I want to go chase down. I really like that a lot. I actually like the catching mechanic. I was getting as I'm getting older, I kind of want things to move a little quicker, I guess, with those kind of games. I didn't really like weakening Pokemon and then catching them after a while.
I'm with you. I
like just giving them a berry and throwing a thing at them and trying it, you know?
You have like an OP Pikachu and you one hit them and you're like, dude, I wanted to catch that thing.
Right.
It's nuts. Yeah. So it's definitely the first Pokemon game that I really spent a lot of time with. I tried X and Y. The problem for me was to jump into Pokemon now, because I never played Pokemon in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, never. I hit that point where it was just like, that's a little too kiddy for me. Yeah. I missed that barrier to entry.
And I'm guessing people tried to convince you, like, no, Bobby, this is a deep RPG. You've got to try it,
right? And I was like, no way. But then when I tried to get into X and Y, I was so far removed from it that I didn't know what all the stuff was that they were talking about. Yeah, because it's like playing a Final Fantasy game I'm not going to say 15 because 15 rebooted, but say 10 or 12, right? And then you haven't played all the other ones. It's like, what the hell is going on here? Like, how are these moves? But if you follow the series up, you start to get an understanding of what's going on. But with Let's Go, it was like, we're starting over. You get basically a fresh flow with this, and you're learning as you go along. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the animations. I think everything,
looks nice.
It looked like a good game. You know, it follows the television series more than the actual game, the original series game. But I liked it. I thought it was good, man.
It's got some of those classic moments that my kids really, really love. And that is like, you can go really close up at the Pokemon and pet it or put a little hat on it. All these little things that my daughter especially just goes head over heels for. So it has those moments that the kids enjoy. They can grab another Joy-Con and they can join in with the random trainer and help you with battles and catching stuff.
Yeah,
I thought it was really well executed, and I think it looks really nice. I don't know how much – I don't want there to be a gritty, realistic Pokemon. I'll get that when I watch Pikachu Detective this summer, I suppose. But I don't need that in my Pokemon game. So I thought it was pretty much exactly what I wanted, being someone who has become more of a Pokemon Go fan than a Pokemon mainline game fan. And again, I realize that makes me a dirty, filthy casual. I get it. But I just – my interest level in the main games – like my kids all got Sun and Moon. And when my oldest son finished his, I borrowed his copy of Sun, fired it up, realized very quickly, I don't really want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is too much. And I'm out. Now, I played, Diamond and Pokemon X, and I played Red. I played a whole bunch of them over the years.
Yeah.
But I thought Let's Go was a great way to let someone like yourself, Bobby, who hasn't really gotten into the series, as well as someone like me who's just a little tired of the same old game every time. It was a great way to make it more approachable. And I'll be honest, those of you out there who are saying it's not a real Pokemon game, it's a pretty full Pokemon experience. Yeah.
It is.
You can do just about everything you can in most games.
Yeah.
The only main difference, there's two main differences. You see the Pokemon, there's no random encounters.
Yep.
And catching them does not require battling them first. No, you just exactly. simply do the go catching mechanics.
So, and you get enough battles when you're doing against gym leaders or just random the trainers. Yeah. Like there's battles all over the place.
You battle a lot.
So the grinding is there, definitely.
Yep. Yep.
I do want to discuss Smash a little bit, and I don't want to overlook that game because that is a really good game.
Now you said Smash was essentially the same thing as the Wii U game. Is that true, or is that an overstatement?
It is a bit of an overstatement in the terms of like they number one, they have every single character that's ever been in Smash. That's number one. The game is faster than 4. The animations, everything. They've also basically toned some fighters down a little bit. Like Bayonetta was just unstoppable on the Wii U. It's not the case anymore now. They've kind of nerfed her a little bit. They have the adventure mode, which is very close to Subspace Missionary, but it's not the same at all. It's not identical. But they did take out some trophies. They're not, you basically don't trophy hunt like you used to in past Smash games. I'm a fan of it. I do like it. It's not, I don't want to say it's not my favorite because it probably is going to wind up being my favorite Smash. But it's, I think it's a really good game. I liked the 3DS version of Smash a lot more than I thought I would. So being able to play this mobily again, it's kind of exciting, you know, and it's a lot of fun. So I think they did a good job with it.
And it runs real great from what I've heard.
Oh my God, dude. It is online's a little the way online is, there's a problem with it. In order to do matches, when you just randomly encounter, so if I just randomly go into a room and I play you, Tim, because that's what Nintendo puts us to play. It's a peer-to-peer experience. So what they're doing is we're not logging into servers. We're logging basically into each other and playing against each other.
Via that sounds almost as gay as Derek and Sasan.
you know how Derek is.
That level yet. I'm just keeping him engaged. I'm just keeping him engaged. Yeah.
It's funny. He's not even paying attention. It's just Sasan.
I am.
He's like, he's probably texting him now.
It's my son. He's harassing me.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, Bobby, it sounds like your online enjoyment could at times totally depend on the connection strength of your opponent.
Yes, because if I make a lobby and you're across the country, the connection may not be as good. And then next thing we're having problems where it's lagging out and stuff like that. So that's not necessarily the best experience. I'm not going to lie. Okay. But ultimately, I can't complain about everything. I think it's a pretty solid fighting game.
Sure. And I mean, it got great reviews. People love it. Yeah. It's not one that I'm purposefully avoiding. It's one that I've watched the YouTube trailers for it and stuff with my kids. They're very interested because it's every character plus some that they've ever heard of before. So they like the idea of it. They played Smash on the 3DS as well. They all have their own 3DSs and battle each other. So this one, of course, looks great to them. But until, I don't know, I wanted to say until the sale, but until I really feel like, okay, I have to get this now. Yeah. I just didn't feel the need to get it just yet, you know?
Yeah. So, no, I totally get that. I totally understand it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it is what we have to talk about it. It got great reviews. People love it. It was the most anticipated release. Even before they announced it, people were like, I can't wait for, as soon as Smash is on Switch, I'll get one, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Dead Cells to me is another game that, like, I know it was multi-platform.
Yeah, but go ahead and talk about it. That's fine. We're not ranking it for multi-platform yet, but I want to hear what you think about Dead Cells.
I thought Dead Cells was an exceptionally amazing game. Yeah. What I liked about Dead Cells is you typically play rogue-type games, and you can't do what they did in typical rogue. Like, typical rogue game is you go out, you try to do what you're going to do, you die, you start over, they regenerate the whole level, and then you go back out again. Yep. And when they were like, hey, Metroidvania / roguelike, I was like, there is no way this works. There's no way you could pull this off.
Right.
And they pulled it off. And I was like, holy crap, this is really, really good. It's sad to some degree that it got a lot of controversy, but at the same time, it's actually worked out to be good and in their favor because it got them a lot of views. A lot of eyes fell on it because of the controversy
right
based around it.
No, that's true.
I felt like, man, this is a type of game that like builds you up to make you feel like you're a god. And then within a second, it just like knocks the legs out from underneath you. And you're like, holy crap, what just happened here?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite games definitely this year that I played.
You know, Dead Cells is fantastic. And I thought the Switch was the place to play it. Absolutely. I played it a little bit on the Xbox. I'm not sure if it's because Derek had a copy or if because it was on Game Pass. I can't remember. But for some reason, I had access to it on the Xbox. And I tried it there. Of course, it looks and plays great. But I have found that I much prefer having it on the handheld while my wife and I have some show on the screen or football's on or something. Like I would just do run after run after run. That game, when it first came out, probably for the first, I would say 5 weeks, which is an incredibly long time for a roguelike to keep my attention. I could not stop playing that thing. That was my go-to kind of end of the day. Okay, I'm going to get in bed now. I'm finally going to go to sleep like an adult. And I would lay there for an extra hour playing several more runs of Dead Cells. I'm with you, man. That game was great. If it had been a Nintendo exclusive, that would have been above Octopath. I love it.
Yeah, it definitely would have been up there. Because that's the one game that like I play and I was like, you're constantly like, one more run, one more run. Yeah. One more run.
And, it's funny because it didn't grab me at first. At first I thought this looks really cool.
Yeah.
Some of the combat feels good, but I don't know if I want to do a roguelike. I see what they're doing, but then I played it a little more, unlocked a couple weapons. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And then I started to get really good at it and really quick with the combat and flying through levels because they reward you. You know, certain doors will unlock if you get there under a certain number of minutes. So then I started moving real fast and boy, I got hooked. I got hooked bad.
Yeah. They did a good job with that one.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would have been number one for me. But seeing as it's not, my top three is going to land at Octopath. Second is Into the Breach. And third is Pokemon. Others that I considered were The Messenger, which is a really great throwback kind of Ninja Gaiden type game. It's good.
Yeah.
I think it's actually surprisingly funny. Your little demon buddy who follows you around, he's hilarious and sarcastic. Yeah. He's the one who resurrects you when you die. Yes. He's very funny. And the reason that you lose stuff when you die in The Messenger is because he makes you pay him every time you die. So like it's very funny, very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Something happens later in the game that it then shifts to more of a 16-bit look and feel, and it becomes more Metroidvania, less Ninja Gaiden and more Metroid. And it's cool, but it wasn't amazing. And it could have been because it was oversold a bit. I listened to a couple IGN podcasts and a few others, and I felt like I was being told that – forget about Dead Cells or anything else. This is it. Yeah. And I was just in the middle of Dead Cells and I played The Messenger and thought, nope, much prefer Dead Cells.
No, I'm with you there.
So that was good, but not amazing. So that's my top three. I know you guys agree on number one with Octopath. Mm-hmm. You haven't played Into the Breach, but do you think Pokemon is worth being in the top three for that?
Yeah, I definitely think it deserves to be in the top three. I think it's, it's the caliber is up there. It's one of those games that like what it accomplishes is it's one of those in between Pokemon games.
Yeah.
So it also accomplishes the fact of getting people, because I'm like, I want to play the next one now. And that's ultimately what they want to do. You know, the ultimate play here for Nintendo and Pokemon Company is to get people that haven't played before to enjoy it and then go, okay, I want the next one.
Or I'll go re-download the app and get back into that. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, that's another thing
too. That too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry. I'm with you there. All right. Well, I think that's a pretty decent list. I don't disagree with you guys. It wasn't by any stretch a bad year to be a Nintendo Switch owner. There's been tons of stuff to play, but if you go by the strict rules of 2018 console exclusives, not as much of a home run as 2017 was, but that's okay. That's all right. It was still a solid year. Still one of my favorite systems. I actually have found myself being, especially the last half of this year, all my major games I'm playing on the Xbox and all my pretty much anything that's not a huge AAA Assassin's Creed or Red Dead, I'm playing on my Switch.
Yeah.
Anything that's on there, I'm playing on there. So
exactly.
So cool. Well, let's before we wrap up with you, Bobby, let's talk about, and this is just our personal picks. There's no list we have to make. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite family-friendly or kids games from this year? And it could be on any system, doesn't have to be limited to Switch. In the past we've tried to rank these, but I just wanted to get our personal picks for those. So what are some of your favorites?
I mean obviously Smash is up there. I think that's a great family game where you're sitting there, you're all playing together, you're kicking the crap out of each other, you're just, you know, you're just yelling at each other and having a blast. Probably I would say Mario Party is another good one. in terms of like getting the family around and playing together and having a good time. Another game that
about Mario Party, did you try the thing where you link the switches up?
No, I didn't.
Because, you know, in the ads they showed that and it looked cool, but I was like, I don't know if I'll ever do that. But.
Yeah, I didn't do anything like that of that nature. Okay. There was another indie game that came out this year on the Switch, but it was actually on Steam prior, Alois Awakening by Elden Pixels. Really, really good game. It's a throwback to the NES. I actually got these things in today, these NES controllers that for the Nintendo Switch.
Are those Joy-Cons? Do they actually snap on?
Yeah, they actually snap on the Switch.
Jeez.
On the sides, you know. So that's how they charge. So you charge them that way, and then you know, you just same thing, just pops in, boom, charge them.
That's awesome.
And actually, you can play some retro like some indie games with this thing. So Alois Awakening, you can actually play with that controller.
Well, and Messenger would be a great one to play with that.
Yeah, too. Another one as well. Like any games that you could play with the two buttons.
Yeah.
It actually has two shoulder buttons, so you can get away with a little bit of that too. I think it's, you know, but Alois is a very old school classic type pixel art game. Reminds me a lot of like Zelda 2, you know, a little bit of Ghosts and Goblins, that type of game. So it's a lot of fun. It's another good one that I would say is nice. Good.
Okay. Derek, what about you? Any games that you would say are good family games, kids games?
Yeah. I did my year in review for Xbox. And apparently I'm a big Fortnite fan because they said that's my number one game. I've put over 115 hours into it.
Have you ever played Fortnite?
No. I hate that.
I was going to say.
So that's clearly my boy Elijah
mm-hmm.
stepping his game up.
Yeah.
The other, my second favorite game apparently is FIFA 18. So those are my two family games that I never play with my family. But
but your family plays them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about this year, I'll just say FIFA 19. But yeah. Fortnite Battle Royale and FIFA 19. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Seriously, Derek. Because I know you're a big soccer guy. Like, do you feel like... Did you play FIFA on the Switch at all or no?
Have not.
Okay. I'm curious how it like stands up.
I heard like FIFA 18 was like a disappointment. I haven't followed FIFA 19. I know my son Ian, he's the one that owns his own Switch. He wanted FIFA 19. So what I'm doing is just waiting for it to drop to a decent price, probably $20, and I'll pick it up for him.
Yeah.
I think FIFA 19 though, as far as I heard, it's not missing anything, whereas FIFA 18 was.
Yeah, missing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's a thing, too.
What about NBA 2K19? Are those good on Switch?
I heard everything's the exact same except 30, you know, obviously the resolution's lower, but instead of 60 frames per second, it's 30 frames.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the only difference. But again, when you consider you're playing in handheld mode on something that beautiful, like a game that pretty, that's pretty impressive, like, to me.
Yeah. The other one, too, NBA Playgrounds is a lot of fun. They actually, 2K came in and picked them up, and they made some changes to the way the shot meter works and stuff. It's actually a lot of fun, man. And the other thing they did was, in the first version, you could team up with anybody. Didn't matter what team they were on. This year, they kind of locked you into the teams, which makes it a lot of fun. And it's a little bit of a chore to unlock some of the players, but it's actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
I thought the first one was decent, you know? Yeah, pretty fun.
This one's a lot better. This one, they lean more heavily into the NBA. You're not, like, traveling countries. You're actually playing in stadium, not quasi-stadiums, but on a playground setting. Yeah. So it's kind of cool what they did there.
See, I like the first one, but my issue was like the shooting.
Shooting was hard.
Too complicated for it being an arcade game.
Yes. Yeah.
So it felt like it was too distant from like an NBA Jam or something like that. And so
yeah, it's very arcadey, except for this one mechanic. They tried to make almost real simulation stuff.
Yeah, and this is, again, it's similar to that. But what they did was, before you had to like be right on the spot to hit a shot. This one actually now it'll open it up. So you have the window again, right? The meter that grows, but like it's a wider gap. So here's the thing. If Shaq is shooting a three, that meter for the shot is red and the percentage is way lower. But if it's like Allen Iverson or Michael Jordan and you shoot from beyond the perimeter, it'll be green, but then if there's a percentage. So it's not 100% that you're going to hit your shot, but it'll be an 80 or 90% shot or something like that.
That sounds better.
So it's actually better than it was.
Sounds like they're actually doing it like an RPG sports type thing. Like, hey, if you're Ray Allen, you're a 90% three-point shooter.
Yes.
So
yes. Yeah, exactly.
You got me kind of interested in trying it. And you have it on you have it on Switch, right, Bobby?
I have it on Switch, yes.
And it plays really well there too.
Plays well, yeah. It plays just, you know, the last one played well. Hmm. The last one didn't play well in handheld, but they did fix that. This one I didn't play in handheld, so I don't know, but on the actual the docked version, it looks great, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying the game. I was just waiting for it to go on sale, which I imagine. Yeah, I don't blame you. It will probably be on sale during this Christmas holiday, like digital. Yeah. So I'll just buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get that one too. The one sport that I can't wait for them to put on the Switch, and I don't care if it's Madden or NCAA or some ripoff version, I want football, a real football game on the Switch.
Yeah. Well, you didn't like Mutant League?
No. that's what I want. I want that on the Switch so bad. I mean, that's my favorite sport by far, of course, as a spectator sport, but it was always my favorite sports video game too. Of course, in a very perfect world, if Tim got to make the decisions in the world, which he doesn't, then I would bring NCAA football back and I'd put it on the Switch and I could do all my recruiting and the full RPG scope of running a football dynasty in college and playing the game. Oh, I would love that. Yeah. But I understand that's not likely. What I think should be more likely, and I'm crossing my fingers that in 2019 we see Madden on the Switch at least.
Yeah.
Because I would go in for Madden for sure.
I'm surprised. I know EA just is very lackadaisic when it comes to the Switch, and I don't know why that is. It's just, you know.
Their sales for FIFA might not be great. You know, I haven't looked into them.
Apparently the sales are pretty good. I know in Japan it was the number one seller. Of all the versions.
Okay. Like
the Switch the Switch. But the problem with that is they're mainly a handheld place. You gotta take that with a grain of salt. But who knows? Who knows? I wish that they would, you know, because I also wonder like how did Faye do on there on the Switch? Because that was
How did that do compared to the other two? That felt more like a Switch-centric game.
Yeah. Than the other two, right? That was one that was there, so we'll see.
Well, for me, my favorite family games this year have been Pokemon Let's Go. That's been one of my favorites. I love playing multiplayer Pokemon. My kids are just major fans of the whole franchise. They love the cards. They love the games. They love Pokemon Go app. They love the cartoon. So that's been a fun one for our family. That's a lot of fun, especially, again, syncing up with the app is really cool. And then my second favorite game, and not that it's not a multiplayer game, it's not even necessary, it is kind of tailored towards kids, but Starlink was one of my favorite family games. I think Starlink was one of my pleasant surprises of the year. When they showed it at E3, I started to get hyped for it, and when I bought it and played it, I got the R-Wing, you know, figurine and all that stuff, and man, it's cool. It's exactly what I wanted really from a Star Fox game, and it kind of has little touches of No Man's Sky here and there. Yep. It's got real charming graphics. I think it runs really great on the Switch.
Yeah.
It looks better on the Xbox One. I played it there, and it looks better, of course, but it looks great on the Switch as well, runs great in handheld. And my son, Shepard, and I, we love playing it, mixing and matching the different weapon types.
Yeah.
And I love Starlink. It's been a fun family game for us. I enjoy that one a lot. So. And it's Star Fox, of course.
I was streaming that, right? And I was playing with the R-Wing, and I'm like, I hate this flamethrower. This flamethrower is a stupid weapon. And I held my R-Wing up for a second because someone asked to see it. And I held it in front of the camera, and the guy goes, "You got the flamethrower on backwards, man." And I'm like, I actually turned it around, and it started shooting forwards. And I'm like, so wait a minute, you're telling me the whole time the thing's shooting behind me?
Yeah, because I think you can set them up to shoot backwards, right?
Yeah, you can shoot backwards. I was like, that is such a cool touch that the thing actually knows this is on backwards or forwards.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it comes with its own, if you guys haven't seen it, these Toys to Life, they come with their own little kind of, I guess, dock for your Joy-Cons. They snap into place, and you can put your different ship pieces or gun pieces. You can snap them right into place there as well. And so you can play like that, which we of course, do, which is fun. I also like playing that, no surprise, in handheld mode as well. So I think Starlink is a great game. It doesn't deserve 10 out of 10 or anything, but it sure is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
So, all right, well, that wraps us up. Bobby, thank you so much for your time, man. How can people find you this holiday season? Where should they look?
You can either go to NintendoGuru.com or Twitter at NintendoGurus. That's the two places that I have.
And what are you going to be twitching over the next streaming on Twitch the next couple days?
Smash, Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8. I like to do stuff where I can actually play with the people that are watching. Fortnite as well. Like, you know, Derek, so if you want to play some Fortnite, buddy. I got your fix.
Be all over that, bro. Be all over that.
That's awesome. All right, Bobby, thank you so much for your time, man. It's great talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see ya.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?